Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church. As we gather this morning, there are a few announcements that have been shared with you on our whiteboards. We are remembering that today is the first Sunday of the month, and as it is traditionally, we continue to remember our noisy collection to be taken up for Camp Luther scholarships, and we look forward to next year's camping opportunities for our youth members. For some closer activities on our schedules, we have Bible studies resuming in September. This month we have a women's study on Tuesday evenings, and we have also a new study called Amazing Grace. It will be Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. So if you're interested, please put that on your calendar and enjoy the study. Sunday school will be starting this month, so we have opportunities for substitute teachers and other helpers in our classrooms. If you would be able to do so, please talk to our Board of Education members. And we are also looking to make sure that we're still in contact and in communication with all of our members that are listed. And so if you have seen a family member or a friend that has a incorrect address or telephone number, please help us know or let them know so they can let us know and that we can continue to keep in touch with them. This morning, our service, we are following Divine Service Setting 4 on page 203, and our opening hymn is numbered 907. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You, O Lord, have directed our sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to speak responsively the introit. Have regard for the covenant, O Lord. Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Do not forget the clamor of your foes.
O God, why do you cast us off forever?
Why does your anger smoke
against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old,
which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt.
Do not forget the life of your poor forever.
Let the poor and needy praise your name.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Have regard for the covenant, O Lord.
Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame.
Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Do not forget the clamor of your foes.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you have promised, make us love, what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I invite the congregation, please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 8 through 15. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Certain chiefs also of the men of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah the son of Meshelemuth, Jehizkiah the son of Shalem, and Amasa the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who have been mentioned by name rose and took the captives. And with the spoil, they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please join me in reading the gradual? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. No, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please stand as you are able as we continue with the Alleluia in verse.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took him, and he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to speak together the Nicene Creed as we confess our shared Christian faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and if there are children present, now is the time to come forward for a children's message. Good morning, girls. How are you today? Good. I am glad that you are here. We heard Jesus telling about somebody who had gotten hurt, that other people had hurt this person. Is that what you and I should do? Should we hurt other people? No, that's not what God wants us to do. When we hear the commandment, our fifth commandment, it says, you shall not kill. But not only is it talking about not killing, it says not only should we shouldn't kill them, but we shouldn't even try to hurt them. What should we do for other people? We should help them, like the one that was called the Samaritan. He saw somebody who was hurt, and he helped him, didn't he? Do you have opportunities to help people, do you think? People who are hurting? Yeah. And how might you know somebody's hurting? What happens when you hurt? Well, you tell somebody that you're hurt? Yeah. Or maybe, have you ever seen somebody cry because they've gotten hurt? Because it's painful? Yeah. So maybe when we're seeing people who are crying, we can know that they are hurting, and we can try to do our best to help them in that time. What do you think would be a really good thing to tell them that might help them when they're hurting? If they got hurt, and you, do you always know what to do? Sometimes I don't even know what to do when somebody's hurt, because I don't know all those things about medicine in our body. But do I know people who do and have that knowledge that can be helpful? Yeah. So maybe there's times where we say, I'm going to go get somebody who's going to help you. And there's other times where they're hurt, and maybe it's not that they have physically been hurt, but they're sad. And you know what? We can tell them, you know, you are still loved because God loves you. Does that help you too? Yeah. To know that God loves you? Yeah, that helps me to know that God loves me. Sometimes we know that we can be good neighbors to other people and help them, but there's times where we help bring them to the one who is the best help for them. We bring them to our Savior Jesus Christ and the help he gives when we are hurting. So can we fold our hands and pray? We pray, Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
we thank you for sending Jesus.
We thank you for sending Jesus
to show us how to love our neighbors.
To show us how to love our neighbors.
And for giving us your love.
And for giving us your love.
Please help us.
Please help us.
Always follow our Savior.
Always follow our Savior.
And share his love with others.
And share his love with others.
We pray in Jesus' name.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming up this morning. I appreciate that you've been able to share some good points with those. Please, you can take one back to your seats with you as our congregation continues and sings hymn 708. Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based upon our text from Galatians chapter 3. Consistency is good to have in life. How many of you like to have things that are consistent, that you can depend on? Well, it's nice. When we have consistency, it can be very calming. Calming in an age where we see much anxiety. One of our Camp Luther staff members this summer was called FOMO. F-O-M-O, FOMO. Any of you hear of FOMO ever? Well, it's an acronym that some of you might recognize and others might. FOMO is the fear of missing out. Some of you might say, well, what's the big deal? You live your life and you miss out on things every day, right? Certainly, you can't be in two places at once, or three or four. But yet, in our feelings-driven society, with everything being super hyped up and the most important event you will ever have, this election is the most important election coming up in the history of our nation. How many times have you heard that in the past? You know, it's just all these things that get hyped up to such a degree that nowadays people are actually buying into the hype. And they fear that if I don't do that, if I'm not there, if I don't get this, then my life is going to be less than it should be. I can't miss out. And yet, most of these things that get hyped up, that you are not able to participate in because you have other things in life that are important, and that must be done, well, you don't really miss out in a way that the hype says you will. Most of these things are very unimportant and in actually quite regular and common. And yet there is this perception and the anxiety that builds up that I'm gonna miss out. But the truly is one thing that we should fear missing out on, and that is salvation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Salvation that leads to life eternal. How can I have eternal life? What must I do for eternal life? It's a question that was asked of Jesus by the religious leader. What is it that he needed to do for eternal life? Because yes, even 2,000 years ago, that was something that they did not want to miss out on. Life everlasting. Yes, life comes to an end here and now, just as it did for them. But there is the promise that God gives of life everlasting. So what and how is that achieved? Jesus asks the man, what does the law of Moses say? And he replies by saying, oh, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says to him, certainly, if you do this, you will live. But that first little two-letter word that begins that phrase I just said, if you do this. Can it be done? Well, the answer is No. For all of us have been tainted with sin since Adam and Eve. If you do this, you will live. But can you actually do it? The answer is no. So what then? That leads us to our lesson in Galatians. It looks like the law won't get you there. It won't, because you cannot. You're going to miss out on eternal life if you try to follow the law. So as Paul is writing to the Galatians, so then, does the law have any use? Should we pay any attention to it? What good is it? God gave us the law, but it now looks like he's given us the law simply to condemn us. And to a degree, that is true. For there are those that believe themselves to be righteous. That lawyer, what was his response to Jesus? Oh, these things I have done since my youth. I've been good enough. I've followed all these laws. But had he? And Jesus points out through the parable of the Good Samaritan where this man was lacking. What I need to do just like that Samaritan did, care for anyone who's hurting, who's in need, even a Samaritan. How outrageous that would have seemed. But no more outrageous than the claim that I have followed all of these since my youth. No, you cannot follow all of God's laws in thought, word, and deed perfectly to earn your salvation. There is only one way. It is the promise that God has given, a promise that he gave even before the law, as Paul writes to the Galatians. No, God did not change his mind and say, well, I'm going to give them another route to being saved. They can be saved through their own works by fulfilling the law. No, that's not what God did at all. Rather, he gave us the law to show us the need for the promise, for belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The law shows all of us that we are all condemned and that there is only one way to everlasting life. One way that we should not desire to miss. That way is the promise through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God promised a Savior to come into the world who would redeem us from the power of the law. And that's exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. As he was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life fulfilling God's law in a way that leader only claimed to do. Jesus actually lived without sin. He lived as you and I can't. Then he allowed himself to be crucified upon the cross. He shed his blood. He died while bearing the sins of the world, redeeming us, washing away all of our sins. This is the way to eternal life. There is no other way. But yet, if you forsake this path that God has given, you will miss out. Yes, God has loved you, and he has loved me, and it's been consistent. It hasn't changed. It wasn't, oh, well, they can't keep my law, so now I'm going to have to do something different for them. Rather, it's how it's been that sin has condemned us. And it will always be that Jesus is the one that saves you and me and the entire world. That is our consistent God, who loves you today, he will love you tomorrow, and he seeks to love you for all eternity through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the consistency that you can depend on in our world of ups and downs and things that are the best and things that are, oh no, this is the worst. We have one way to heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the one love that comes from God, the love that surpasses all of our understanding. May you know God's consistency and love today. May you continue to spread that message of hope and calm those who fear missing out in this world. Let them know of a consistency that they can have that doesn't change, that will last today, tomorrow, and forever. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who comes to us in water and word, who comes to us in the sacraments, just as he has promised through his word. Each and every time, he is there for you. Each and every time, he gives to you his blessings. What a wonderful, loving, and consistent Lord we have. May the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite the congregation to please stand as we continue with our prayers. You served your people of old through priests and Levites who themselves could never heal the curse of the law. Give us Christ Jesus, the true priest, who with his oil and wine is able fully to heal all wounds, forgive all sins, and bring us to eternal rest. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you gave the old covenant through angels to train Israel in your law. Bless the ministers of your new covenant to proclaim forgiveness, life, and salvation to all nations in the stead and by the command of Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Righteous Lord, by our wickedness, we merit many of the evils that befall us. Nevertheless, cut short your wrath. Make room for repentance and forgive us for the sake of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy Lord, preserve your gift of marriage against the ravages of sin, the schemes of the devil, and the raging of the world. Bless the couples and families of our congregation. Strengthen them in love and care for one another, and establish them on the foundation of your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God, Father of us all, turn the hearts of Christian brothers to brother, that those who fall into sin would be brought to repentance and not be rebuked beyond measure, but rather be restored to the communion of the faithful. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, wherever the wicked strip and wound, and wherever the devil seeks our fall, you meet us with healing and grace to endure. Soothe and lift up Rick, Shirley, Glenn, Wayne, Linda, Tracy, and Beth, and all in need. Carry them to find rest in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, as Satan once overcame our first parents through the eating of the tree's fruit, so overcome him now among us by the fruit of your Son's cross, his blood and body given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Bless all who commune with repentance and faith, that in the comfort of the gospel they may be cleansed and prepared for eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, our offerings are collected. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You once revealed your name to Moses in the burning bush, and through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, you unveiled the mystery of your holy name in the Trinity of persons and the unity of being. Grant that we, who have been baptized and instructed in the true name, may faithfully eat and drink of your Son's body and blood, and worship you in spirit and truth, O Father, through your Son and the Holy Spirit. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have mercy on us, Lord. be seated. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
please stand. The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Oh,